Blog Talk Radio.
Represents their former employees in providing a weekly voice about their company as we do here at the EAL Radio Show. We bring you live talk with former employees, interviews with leading aviation authors, interviews with former and current presidents of Eastern, a little bit of airline humor, music from the past, serious airline real-life drama as told by former Eastern people. We have projects such as the first flight to introduce the new company back into the air and much, much more. And it's been quite a trip for us here at the radio station, as you can tell. We enjoy talking about our favorite company, Eastern. Let's introduce our host for tonight's show. Neil, who do you see on the producer's board?
Well, it's always great to start our shows off with saying hello to our host and guest, and that way we can get an update on the weather around the country, especially east of the Mississippi River. We don't have anyone west of the Mississippi River. If you'd like to call in, tell us your weather wherever you are out there. We'd be happy to listen to it. But our update of our weather is done by our host as we introduce each to you every Monday evening at this time. You know, I think we ought to start our show about 15 minutes early because we have some of the most interesting conversations by our host before we go on air that it's a shame that our listeners miss the opportunity to listen to what goes on behind the curtains, if there's a curtain for a radio show, but at any rate, we do have fun, and by golly, I think we ought to do that, and let you guys hear what we talk about prior to going on the air. Of course, we should be more serious and talk about our script and how to perfect the delivery of the script and what our program is of the evening, but we do have fun doing that prior to our departure, which is our online time at 7 p.m. So let's see who I see tonight out there in Radio Land. I see. First of all, Steve Thompson in Roaring Gap, North Carolina. Give us a weather report there, Steve, and what's happening?
Hello, Neil, and hello, radio listeners, and welcome from Roaring Gap, where the sun is shining brightly. It is a beautiful, beautiful day with temperatures up near 70 degrees, and it just doesn't get much better than this. And there were two people on the golf course today. So that is a great sign. I guess they're leaving Chuck's facility down there and heading north, which is the place that they should be coming.
Hey, Steve.
So thanks, Neil, and back to you.
Okay, well, I was going to say they're probably those guys that tried to hit the golf ball during the wintertime and the snow's melted now, and they're trying to find their two balls.
Yes.
Excuse me.
But I've already found them, and I already put them away, so.
Okay. The guys. Okay. Let's see. I'm just going to go at random here, and I see how I hear Chuck. I hear him all the time. Chuck Albright, since we're talking about golf, you're right in the middle of all those 151 golf courses in Central Florida. Did I get the count right, Chuck?
You came close. There's 53 so far, and we're going to plan for another 9 more, and that's going to be the shutdown. We had a great day today. It was in the middle 80s. We had a little bit of fog this morning, believe it or not, but they were out on the golf course at 7 o'clock this morning in their shorts and short-sleeve golf shirts. We've had a great time. I have a beautiful tee time tomorrow at 9:15 Eastern time. So you guys that are up there trying to get out of that whatever weather you're in, it's either snow or floods or whatever it is, you can still come on down. They haven't left yet. We still have 35,000 of them here. Back to you, Neil.
Okay. Well, let's see. Next, I think I'm going to go over to Long Island, New York. Let's see if there's any snow left on the ground. George, what do you see outside your window?
Well, it was a nice day today, Neil. It was about 50 degrees, a little over that. However, there is still some snow on the ground, unfortunately. But all the icebergs that have been drifting back and forth in front of my home with the tide, they've finally disappeared. So spring cannot be far behind here. Back to you, Neil.
Okay. I don't know whether Frank's listening. Frank Sagnor, are you with us tonight, Frank? Apparently not. So we will go now over to Hilton Head. Gay, have you made it back over to home in Hilton Head?
Yes. It is great beach weather here in the low country. It was 84 degrees today. So everybody was out and about, and the pollen is covering everything. So I think spring is officially here.
Okay. Very good. Yes. And, of course, Hilton Head's full of golf courses, Chuck.
Yes.
I think they got more golf courses in Hilton Head than they do in the villages. But at any rate.
I doubt.
You
could
doubt
be,
that.
Could be.
Okay. Let's see what's happening up in Asheville, North Carolina with Jill Cotton.
Hi, Jill.
Jill, how are you?
I'm doing great. It has been a beautiful day in the mid-70s. And tonight it's going to cool off into the mid to high 40s, so it's going to be great snuggling weather in the morning.
Okay.
Back to you, Neil.
All right. Let's see. I hear Jim Graybill's laughter out there. Jim, are you with us?
Yeah, Neil, I'm here. It's been a gorgeous day here in Hotlanta, on the north side, anyway. Light wind, absolutely clear, beautiful skies. Temperature up approaching 70 degrees, and it's just one of those lovely, great, great days here. Back to you, Neil.
Okay, very good. And let's see. Bill over in the Tampa area, come on down to Florida, the West Coast, the best coast, I guess they call it over there. Bill, how are things there? Bill Joseph.
We call it the Nature Coast over here, Neil. I'm fine. This is my winter spot, and here we hit about 80 degrees today. We share the condo with a number of Canadians who come down for the winter season, and The pool was just full of them today. They love this weather. Back to you, Neil.
Okay, very good. Jim, do you see anyone out there that I haven't talked with, Jim Hart?
Jim Hart is here.
Okay.
Neil?
Frank, are you back with us? No, apparently not.
Jim Hart is here.
Okay, Jim Hart, go right ahead and tell us what's happening in your neck of the woods.
I'll let you know that in the greater West Palm Beach, we had 82 degrees today, a beautiful sunshiny day, but someone put a damper on it when my mailman came because he gave me my fuel bill for the house up on the island. It was $300 last month, and I heat with propane, and the house is only at 50 degrees. Can you imagine $300 for 1 month? Back to you, Neil.
Well, why don't you just wrap your pipes and turn your water off and all that and just turn the electricity off? Would you have a bill or would you have a house left or everything would be frozen or what? Why do you have to run if you're not there?
I wouldn't be able to go up there and spend a long weekend when I want to.
Oh, well, how long does it take to heat your house? Only about 30 minutes, right?
Oh, no, longer than that. But you see, I would have to put the water back into the pipes and all of that kind of stuff, not just turn the heat on.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
I don't see the whole picture.
Yeah, I don't see the whole picture. Okay, Bill, it's back to you, Bill Joseph.
Well, before we start our show tonight, let's do some housekeeping. If you've listened to our past shows, you know that we can be reached online during our live broadcast. Our numbers once again are 213-816-1611 or toll-free at 877-572-1861. Let me repeat those numbers. 213-816-1611 or toll-free at 877-572-1861. Remember, when calling the show, make sure you press the number one button on your phone if you wish to connect live with our show and speak to your hosts. Jim, just as a reminder to our listeners, you can tune us in by going to www.eilradioshow.com and click the arrow in the circle on the radio icon, or go to our sponsor, the Retired Eastern Pilots Association's website, and click the radio show's icon on their homepage. This site is www.repaonline.com. Back to you, Jim.
Neil, how about starting that R2800 engine and get this show underway?
Okay, stand clear. Here we go.
Roll. Clear prop.
Clear.
Any comments about
Neil,
that?
Oh, boy, Neil, how about another hit from the past? You got one on hand there for maybe St. Patrick's Day?
Oh, absolutely. Let's hear this wonderful song. Let's see if you can identify the singer or singers.
Oh, sunny boy, the pipes are calling from glen to glen. Summer's gone and all the roses
St. Patrick's Day is usually held on the 17th of March each year. We thought we would start early in our salute to all you Colleens and Micks out there. So join in with us as we kiss the Blarney Stone just a wee bit early. Steve?
St. Patrick's Day, or the Feast of St. Patrick, or the Day of the Festival of Patrick. It is a cultural and religious celebration held on the 17th of March, the traditional death date of St. Patrick, 685 to 461 A.D., the foremost patron saint of Ireland. St. Patrick's Day was made an official Christian feast day in an early 17th century and is observed with the Catholic Church. The Anglican Church, the Anglican Communion, especially the Church of Ireland, the Eastern Orthodox Church, and the Lutheran Church. The day commemorates St. Patrick and the arrival of Christianity in Ireland, as well as celebrating the heritage and the culture of the Irish in general. Celebrations generally involve public parades and festivals and the wearing of green attire or shamrocks. Christians also attend church services, and the Lenten restrictions on eating and drinking alcohol are lifted for the day, which has encouraged and propagated the holiday's tradition of alcohol consumption. St. Patrick's Day is a public holiday in the Republic of Ireland, Northern Ireland, and Canadian province of Newfoundland and Labrador, and the British Overseas Territories of Montserrat. It is also widely celebrated by the Irish diaspora around the world, especially in Great Britain, Canada, United States, Argentina, Australia, and New Zealand. Chuck, how about telling us more about St. Patrick?
Much of what is known about St. Patrick comes from the Declaration, which was allegedly written by Patrick himself. It is believed that he was born in Roman Britain in the 4th century into a wealthy Roman British family. His father was a deacon, his grandfather was a priest in the Christian church. According to the Declaration, at the age of 16, he was kidnapped by Irish raiders and taken as a slave to Gaelic Ireland, and said he spent 6 years there working as a shepherd, and during this time he found God. The Declaration said God told Patrick to flee to the coast, where a ship would be waiting to take him home. After making his way home, Patrick went on to become a priest. According to legend, St. Patrick used the three-leaf shamrock to explain the Holy Trinity to the Irish pagans. According to tradition, Patrick returned to Ireland to convert the pagan Irish to Christianity. The Declaration said that he spent many years evangelizing in the northern half of Ireland and converting thousands. Traditionally holds that he died on the 17th of March and was buried at Downpatrick. Over the following centuries, many legends grew up around Patrick, and he became an Irish foremost saint. Neil, can you play us the Irish song, Wearing of the Green?
Oh, Paddy dear, and did you hear the news that's going round? The shamrock is by law forbid to grow on Irish ground. St. Patrick's Day no more we'll keep, his colours can't be seen. For they're hanging men and women for the wearing of the green. I met with Nabertandy and he took me by the hand. He said, how's dear old Ireland and how does she stand? She's the most distressful country that you have ever seen. For the hanging men and women, for the wearing of the green, for the wearing of the green, for the wearing of the green. They're hanging men and women, for the wearing of the green. And since the colour we must wear is England's cruel red, sure Ireland's sons will ne'er forget the blood that they have shed. You may take the shamrock from your hats and cast it on the sod, but 'twill take root and flourish there, though underfoot 'tis trod.
My father loves his country and sleeps within its breast. While I that would have died for her must never so be blessed. Those tears my mother shed for me, how bitter they had been. If I had proved a traitor to the wearing of the green, for the wearing of the green, for the wearing of the green, they're hanging men and women for the wearing of the green. But if at last our colors should be torn from Ireland's heart, her sons with shame and sorrow from the dear old Isle will part. I've heard a whisper of a land that lies beyond the sea, where rich and poor stand equal in the light of freedom's day. Oh, Ireland, must we leave you driven by a tyrant's hand, and seek a mother's blessing from a strange and distant land, where the cruel cross of England shall never more be seen. And in that land we live and die, still wearing Ireland's green. For the wearing of the green, for the wearing of the green, they're hanging men and women for the wearing of the green. For the wearing of the green, for the wearing of the green, they're hanging men and women for the wearing of the green.
On St. Patrick's Day, it's customary to wear shamrocks and or green clothing or accessories, the wearing of the green. St. Patrick is said to have used the shamrock, a three-leaved plant, to explain the Holy Trinity to the pagan Irish. This story first appears in writing in 1726, though it may be older. In pagan Ireland, three was a significant number, and the Irish had many triple deities, a fact that aided St. Patrick's evangelization effort. The wearing of the St. Patrick's Day cross, especially in the World War I era, by the Irish, was also a popular custom. These St. Patrick's Day crosses have a Celtic Christian cross made of paper that is covered with silk or ribbon of different colors, and a bunch or rosette of green silk in the center. The color green has been associated with Ireland since at least the 1640s, when the green heart flag was used by the Irish Catholic Confederation. Green ribbons and shamrocks have been worn on St. Patrick's Day since at least the 1680s. Green was adopted as the color of the Friendly Brothers of St. Patrick, an Irish fraternity founded in about 1750. However, when the Order of St. Patrick, an Anglo-Irish chivalric order, was founded in 1783, it adopted blue as its color. This led to blue being associated with St. Patrick. In the 1790s, green became associated with the Irish nationalism when it was used by the United Irishmen. This was a Republican organization led mostly by Protestants, but with many Catholic members, who launched a rebellion in 1798 against British rule. The phrase, wearing of the green, comes from a song of the same name, which laments United Irishmen supporters being persecuted for wearing green. Throughout the 19th and 20th century, the color green and its association with St. Patrick's Day grew. Bill, how is St. Patrick's Day celebrated in Ireland?
St. Patrick's Feast Day, as a kind of national day, was already being celebrated by the Irish in Europe in the 9th and 10th centuries. In later times, he became more and more widely known as the patron of Ireland. St. Patrick's Feast Day was finally placed on the universal liturgical calendar in the Catholic Church due to the influence of Waterford-born Franciscan scholar Luke Wadding in the early 1600s. St. Patrick's Day thus became a holy day of obligation for Roman Catholics in Ireland. It is also a feast day in the Church of Ireland. The church calendar avoids observance of saints' feasts during certain solemnities, moving the saints' day to the time outside those periods. St. Patrick's Day is occasionally affected by this requirement when 17 March falls during the Holy Week. This happened in 1940 when St. Patrick's Day was observed on 3 April to avoid it coinciding with Palm Sunday, and again in 2008 where it was officially observed on the 14th of March. St. Patrick's Day will not fall within the Holy Week again until 2160. However, the secular celebration is always held on the 17th of March. In 1903, St. Patrick's Day became an official public holiday in Ireland. This was thanks to the Bank Holiday Act, 1903, an act of the United Kingdom Parliament introduced by Irish Member of Parliament James O'Meara. O'Meara later introduced the law that required that pubs and bars be closed on 17 March after drinking got out of hand, a provision that was repealed in the 1970s. The first St. Patrick's Day parade held in the Irish Free State was held in Dublin in 1931 and was reviewed by the then Minister of Defense, Desmond Fitzgerald. Jill?
In the mid 1990s, the government of the Republic of Ireland began a campaign to use St. Patrick's Day to showcase Ireland and its culture. The government set up a group called St. Patrick's Festival with the aim, traditional St. Patrick's Day badges from the early 20th century, photographed at the Museum of Country Life in County Mayo, to offer a national festival that ranks among all of the greatest celebrations in the world, to create energy and excitement throughout Ireland via innovation, creativity, grassroots involvement, and marketing activity, to provide the opportunity and motivation for people of Irish descent and those who sometimes wish they were Irish to attend and join in the imaginative and expressive celebrations, to project internationally an accurate image of Ireland as a creative, professional, and sophisticated country with wide appeal. Neil, do you have another Irish song we all know, even though...
Dublin's fair city, where the girls are so pretty, I first set my eyes on sweet Molly Malone. As she wheeled a wheelbarrow, the streets broad and narrow, by cockles and mussels.
Oh,
Festival was held on the 17th of March in 1996. In 1997, it became a three-day event. And by the year 2000, it was a four-day event. By 2006, the festival was 5 days long, with more than 675,000 people attending the 209 parade. Overall, 209's five-day festival saw close to 1 million visitors who took part in festivities that included concerts, outdoor theater performances, and fireworks. Skyfest forms the centerpiece of the festival. The topic of the 204 St. Patrick Symposium was Talking Irish, during which the nature of Irish identity, economic success, and the future were discussed. Since 1996, there has been a greater emphasis on celebrating and projecting a fluid and inclusive notion of Irishness, rather than an identity based around traditional religious or ethnic allegiance. The week around St. Patrick's Day usually involves Irish language speakers using more Irish during the section Gaelic Irish Language Week. Christian leaders in Ireland have expressed concern about the secularization of St. Patrick's Day. In the Word magazine's March 2007 issue, Father Vincent Twomey wrote, "It is time to reclaim St. Patrick's Day as a church festival." He questioned the need for mindless, alcohol-fueled revelry, and he concluded that it is time to bring the piety and the fun together. As well as Dublin, many other cities, towns, and villages in Ireland hold their own parades and festivals, including Cork, Belfast, Derry, Galway, Kilkenny, Limerick, and Waterford. Sign promoting the drinking of Guinness beer on St. Patrick's Day at Dublin's Guinness Storehouse. The biggest celebrations outside Dublin were in Downpatrick County, Down, where St. Patrick is rumored to be buried. In 204, according to Down District Council, the week-long St. Patrick's Festival had more than 2,000 participants and 82 floats, bands, and performers, and was watched by more than 30,000 people. The shortest St. Patrick's Day parade in the world takes place in Drimsey, Cork. The parade lasts about 100 yards and travels between the village's two pubs. George, you're in that part of the USA that probably has the largest St. Patrick's Day celebration. Can you tell us about it, George?
Well, Jim, St. Patrick's Day, while not a legal holiday in the United States or New York, is nonetheless widely recognized and observed throughout the country as a celebration of Irish and Irish-American culture. Celebrations include prominent displays of the color green, lots of eating, plenty of drinking, religious observances, and skipping school to attend the numerous parades. The holiday has been celebrated on the North American continent since the late 18th century. The New York City St. Patty's Day Parade is our country's oldest and proudest Irish tradition, marching for the first time more than 250 years ago on March 17th, 1762, 14 years before the Declaration of Independence was signed. The parade starts at 44th Street and 5th Avenue at 11 a.m. and is held every March 17th, except when March 17th falls on a Sunday. It's celebrated the day before, in that case, on Saturday the 16th, due to religious observances. The parade marches up 5th Avenue, past St. Patrick's Cathedral at 50th Street, all the way up past the American-Irish Historical Society at 83rd and the Metropolitan Museum of Art at 83rd to 86th Street, where the parade finishes at around 4:30 to 5 p.m. If you haven't visited New York on this day to witness this wonderful, fun-spirited day, then you have really missed the parade like no other. But wait a minute. I have a couple Irish jokes here. Do you know why Jesus wasn't born in Ireland? Anybody have a guess out there?
He wasn't Irish?
No, he couldn't find three wise men or a virgin. And here's one other one. An Irish priest is driving in New York City and gets stopped for speeding. The policeman smells alcohol on the priest's breath and says, "Father, have you been drinking?" Just water, officer, the priest replies in somewhat slurred words. The policeman says, "Then why do I smell wine on your breath?" The priest looks surprised and says, "Good Lord, he's done it again." Do we have any more Irish songs here?
No, I'm out of songs. We're going to save our time at the end for some good Irish humor, which I'm sure there's plenty of. Steve, how about it?
Okay.
Yes, do you suppose we could slip in a few good Irish, natured Irish quips? And I guess, why not? Let's start with this one. An Irish Aer Lingus pilot was flustered not being able to find a suitable landing field since he had lost both engines on the Boeing 757 and he was in a fog bank with zero visibility. "Lord," he prayed, "I can't stand this. If ye open a space up for me, I swear I'll give up drinking me whiskey. And I promise to go to church every Sunday." Suddenly, the clouds parted, and the sun shone on an abandoned airport within gliding distance. Without hesitation, the pilot said, "Never mind, Lord, I found one." Chuck?
Chuck, you got one for us?
And Neil?
Yeah.
You have a 919 caller, and that's Chip there who has an Irish story for you.
Okay, I'm still trying to find Chuck.
Celebrating St. Patty's Day.
Chuck, are you out there in some land? I've got your microphone probably turned off. But
no, I'm here.
Well, go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, where have you been?
I'm at Dublin Airport.
Okay.
Oh, the pub.
Well, tell us what's happening there, Chuck.
Well, there was two Patties who were working for Dublin Air as aircraft fuelers. One would uncap the fueling tank, and the other would follow behind putting the fuel tank back on, cap back on. They worked the entire line of the aircraft on the ramp, repeating the same procedure down the long line of aircraft. Working furiously all day without rest, one man uncapped the fuel tank and the other putting the fuel tank cap back on. An onlooker was amazed at their handiwork. He couldn't understand what they were doing. So he asked the fueler, taking the fuel cap off, "I'm impressed by the effort you two are putting into your work, but I don't get it. Why do you take the fuel cap off and your partner puts the fuel cap back on?" The fueler wiped his brow and sighed. "Well, I suppose it probably looks odd because we normally are a three-person team, but today the lad who puts the fuel in the tank called in sick."
Good.
Irish Captain Daniel O'Rourke.
Only an
Irish Captain Daniel O'Rourke says to his first officer, Mick O'Malley, as they are walking down the airport terminal concourse with a bag of donuts in his hand, "Danny," says to Mick, "if you can guess how many donuts are in my bag, you can have them both."
I've got
Captain Mulligan opened the morning newspaper and was dumbfounded to read in the obituary column that he had died. He quickly phoned his best friend, Finney. "Did you see the paper?" asked Mulligan. "They say I died." "Yes, I saw it," replied Finney. "Where are ye calling from?"
Jim Hart?
Yes, I've got one for you, Neil. Patty was busy at work in his company's office, and all of a sudden a phone call, and someone says, "Patty, you got a phone call from Ireland." And so Patty went over, and he took the phone call, and after that, he was just so distraught. He was sad-faced and so on. I said, "What's wrong, Patty? What was the call about?" "Oh, they told me my mother had died Oh, they said, we're so sorry for you. Listen, you've got another phone call over here. He went and took the other phone call. It was also from Ireland. And he looked worse than ever. He came back, and the fellow said, wow, Patty, you look terrible. What was that phone call all about? He said, it was me brother, Mick. He called to tell me his mother had died. You get that one?
I think we do. All right.
We do. Go, but sure.
I think Gay's got one.
Okay. Patty Murphy arrived at Boston's Logan Airport and wandered about the terminal with tears streaming down his cheeks. A Texan asked him if he was homesick. No, replied the Irishman. It's worse. I've lost all me luggage. That's terrible. How did that happen? The cork fell out of me bottle, said Patty.
All right. Jill? Well, Jill, stop talking. Let me find your microphone here. I'm having more problems. I have my board lit up. Folks, you don't know how complicated this is. I just took a picture of this producer's board here so I can study it. I've only been doing this 4 years, and I decided, hey, I got a camera here that's hooked up to my telephone, and I think I'm just going to take a picture of this thing and take it home and study it and see if I can figure out all that should be happening. So now I've opened up all of the microphones. And, Jill, you should be with us telling us your joke. Hello, Jill. Well, it must have been a little bit too risque for her. So,
why don't you let Gay say?
Gay, would you?
So can I give the one that's in the script?
Yeah. You want me to read it?
Yes, Gay, would you do that? Then I'll try to find out what happened to Jill.
Find Jill, okay. An Irish girl
soon after O'Shaughnessy clocked into work.
Whoa. Jim Hart, Jill has got this one. I mean, not Jill,
Gay.
But Gay. Gay, go
Gay's
ahead.
Gay's got it. Hold on, Jim.
Okay, here we go.
I'm holding.
An Irish girl who had not seen her parents for over 5 years came home unexpectedly one day. No sooner had she set foot inside the house than her father rounded on her angrily. Mother of God, Roisin, where have you been all this time? Look at the state of you, girl. You're wearing lipstick and that skirt barely covers
Michael,
your bottom.
Michael, father? What?
You
oh,
shameless. Geez. You shameless ingrate. You left us without a word on your 16th birthday and we've not heard so much as a line from you in 5 years. Why didn't you call? Do you have any idea what you put your poor mom through? Roisin started crying and sobbed. Oh, duh, I fell in with a bad crowd. I started sleeping around, took drugs, and then I became a prostitute. Holy Mary, shouted her father. What did you say? A prostitute? You evil little sinner. You're a disgrace to this family. I don't ever want to see your face again. Okay, duh, said Roisin. Drying her eyes on an expensive silk handkerchief. I only came back to give Mom this fur coat, the title deed to a 10-bedroom villa in Spain, and a savings account certificate for 5 million euros. For my little brother, Sean, I got this gold Rolex. And for you, dearest Da, the S-type Jag that's parked outside, plus lifetime membership to the Bally Murphy Golf Club. And an invitation for you all to spend New Year's Eve with me on board my new yacht in the French Riviera. And, her father interrupted and asked, what is it you said you had to come again? His daughter started crying again and sobbed. A dirty, shameless harlot who sells her body for money. A prostitute. Oh, sweet be Jesus. The Lord be praised, exclaimed the father, clasping her to his bosom. You scared me half to death, girl. I thought you said a Protestant. Come here and give your Da a kiss. I think I have
let me
one
see
more.
If I found Jill. Jill, are you with us?
Jill.
Hello.
She's lost in cyberspace.
Well, I want to take this one. You guys are having too much fun. An Irish blonde flight attendant has been called in by our airline flight attendant supervisor and told she was overweight.
Yeah.
So her doctor put her on a diet. I want you to eat regularly for 2 days, he tells her. Then I want you to skip a day and repeat the procedure for 2 weeks. The next time I see you, you'll have lost at least 5 pounds. When the blonde returned, she lost nearly 40 pounds. Why, that's amazing, the doctor said. Did you follow my instructions? The Irish blonde nods. I'll tell you, though, I thought I was going to drop dead that third day. From hunger, you mean? Asked the doctor. No, replies the Irish blonde. From skipping. Skip a day. You get it? Skip a day.
Yeah.
Jim Grayville, have you got one for us?
Yeah, Aries Lingus Flight 101 was flying from Dublin to New York one night when Ted, the pilot, and Sharon, the co-pilot, as they approached Dublin Airport, they looked out from the front window. Bejesus, said Teddy. Well, you look to how far and short the runway is. You're not flipping and kidding, Teddy replied Sharon. This is going to be one of the trickiest landings you ever going to see, said Teddy. You're not flipping kidding, Teddy, replied Sharon. Right, Sharon. Well, I'll give you this. Put the engine in reverse, said Teddy. Right, I'll be doing that, replied Sean. And then put the flaps down all the way, said Teddy. All right, I'll be doing that, replied Sean. And after Denny got stumped on two brakes as hard as he can, said Teddy. Right. I'm going to be doing that, replied Sean. And then you pray to your mother, Mary, with all your soul, said Teddy. I'm going to be doing that already, said Sean. So they approached the runway with Teddy and Sean, full of nerves and sweet palms. As soon as the wheels hit the ground, Sean put the engines in reverse, put the flaps down, stepped on the brakes, and prayed to Mother Mary with all of his soul. Amidst roaring engines, squealing of the tires, and lots of smoke, the airplane screeched to a halt. Centimeters from the end of the runway, that's centimeters now, guys, from the end of the runway, much to the reply of Patty and Sean and everyone else on board. As they sat in the cockpit, regaining their composure, Patty looked out at the front window and said to Sean, that's got to be the shortest runway running,
I
ever seen.
Where silly things happen,
Sean.
And so forth. Come on, Neil, pick it up.
Okay. I think somebody stepped on you there, Jim. But I think you meant to say that has got to be the shortest friggin' runway I ever seen in my whole life. Yeah, Patty, but look how flipping wide it is. I've got someone out there that's calling in, and Steve, I think you said Chip was on the line, but I don't see an area code of 919.
910.
I'm sorry, it's 910. Excuse me.
910. Okay. Now, welcome aboard, Chip. Are you there?
Hi. Hello. This is Captain Sean O'Hanassy from Aer Lingus.
Hello, Sean O'Hanassy.
Hello,
from
Captain
Aer Lingus.
Sean.
An area code 910.
I've been listening to your show for years. We love it. So, the other day, I walk into this bar. It's kind of slow at Shannon's Pub. And there's these two boys, and they're talking with each other. And one says, hey, where are you from? I says, well, I'd be from Dublin. The other one says, well, I'd be from Dublin. You don't say. I do. Let's have a toast. So they have a toast, and they're talking a little more. And he says, well, where are you from in Dublin? He says, well, I'm from Donnybrook Parish. And the other guy says, well, I'd be from Donnybrook Parish as well. You don't say. Oh, I do, I do. Well, let's have another toast. So they get another round of Jameson. Boom. And then they're talking some more, and they're laughing. So whereabouts in Donnybrook Parish did you go to school? And I went to St. Mary's, class of 62. And the other guy says, no, you don't say. Oh, I be from St. Mary's, class of 62. I we got to have another toast. So I'm sitting there on my layover, and I couldn't stand it anymore. I asked the bartender, I said, what's going on with these two? And he says, oh, nothing. It's just the O'Malley twins. They're drunk again.
Very good.
So this is Captain Sean O'Hannessy from Aer Lingus. I'm signing off now. Peace be with you. Peace be with you, and happy St. Paddy's Day.
Happy St. Paddy's Day to you too, Captain.
Yeah.
Thanks, son.
Bye.
Very, very good. How did you teach him how to speak Irish?
I didn't teach him. He's been hanging around these Irish pubs too much.
Obviously, yeah. With American Airlines, do they fly into Ireland? I guess they do.
I don't know.
Well, Chip, are you still with
us?
They do.
Okay. Just for a second, I've got to sign off. Great show, and thanks for listening to my joke. And a special birthday to somebody who decided to have one as close to St. Paddy's Day without having it on St. Paddy's Day, and that's Big Steve. Happy 80th, Dad. Love you.
Very good.
Happy
Very
birthday,
good.
Dad.
Happy birthday, Steve.
Thanks.
Oh, Dad.
I think you better go have a touch of the bubbly.
Yeah.
Yes,
oh,
I'm
yeah.
going to.
Now, if we could only sing happy birthday in Irish.
There you go.
Oh, boy.
Sorry, guys.
I don't have any. Does anyone else have any jokes, or did we miss any jokes, or did we cut anybody out? Let's see.
No, that's my wide runway now.
Your wide runway, yeah, yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's a
great show. Great show.
Yeah, it was. I've got to let's see, an announcement to make, I believe. And we've got so many callers on my producer's board here. It's a shame that we can't hear from all of them. And I've got everyone's microphone on. So if you just like to sneeze or cough or utter a word.
Neil?
Yes.
Neil?
Yes.
This is Jill. I'm back.
Where have you been?
I had a malfunction on my phone.
Oh, okay. Is that all it was?
It started doing things. I think it was the green beer I'm drinking.
Well, Jill, not to worry, because we had someone that took your part, and it sounded just like
Jay,
you, Jill.
Jay did a great job.
A little bit on the masculine side, but it sounded, never mind.
I heard it. I was hearing you. I just couldn't get through to you.
Well, I'm going to dock your paycheck by about 10 minutes. Is that okay?
Uh-oh. I'm going to be in the poorhouse.
Yeah. All right. All you Patties and Colleens, I found the word Colleen, which means boils, I guess. You all have a great St. Patrick's Day. We have one in Savannah that is quite large. It's really gotten to be a large St. Patrick's Day in Savannah, Georgia, just up the I-95 from Jacksonville. So a lot of folks celebrate up there. And I don't know who drives them back to Jacksonville, but I'm sure. You know,
they do.
Listening to the history of the of St. Patrick's Day and the church and all wanting it to be focused more on the religious aspect of St. Patrick's and all that he did to become the patron saint of Ireland. I'm glad that they didn't discontinue the abstinence of alcohol prohibition. And that's
what I won't touch that one, Neil.
Okay, but
I won't touch that one.
I guess they still serve wine in the church. I'm not certain what they serve anymore, but at any rate, it's a good festival, not a festival, but a celebration. And George, do you know right offhand whether they televise the St. Patrick's Day parade in New York?
Aye, they do, from beginning till end.
From beginning to end. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's on channel NBC. I think it's on NBC. So you might even be able to get it if you're outside of New York City.
What channel number is NBC? I just know Fox. And
NBC NBC up here is channel 4.
Okay.
it won't be the same where you are, Neil.
Yeah. Bill Joseph, you said that you had something that you wanted to share with us, and I want to hear that poem before we go off the air. Would you please give us that reading?
Well, it's a bit more serious than what we've been talking about, but I got the poem, and it came to me from the Killeen House Hotel in Killarney, Ireland. The title of the poem is, What Shall I Say About the Irish? The utterly impractical, never predictable, sometimes irascible, quite inexplicable, Irish. Strange blend of shyness, pride, and conceit, and stubborn refusal to bow in defeat. We're spoiling and ready to argue and fight, yet the smile of a child fills our souls with delight. Our eyes are the quickest to well up with tears, yet our strength is the strongest to banish your fears. Our hate is as fierce as our devotion is grand, and there's no middle ground on which we will stand. We're wild and we're gentle, we're good and we're bad, we're proud and we're humble, we're happy and sad. We're in love with the ocean, the earth, and the skies. We're enamored with beauty wherever it lies. We're victor and victim, a star and a clod, but mostly we're Irish, thank God. Author unknown.
Oh, amen. Thank
Very
you, God.
Very good.
Beautiful.
There's our music again. Where did the time go? Jim, you want to take us out of here?
Yeah, thanks, Bill. I'll do that. Well, that's our show for tonight, folks. We'll be back with you next week, same time, same station. www.ealradioshow.com. And like one of our popular commercials for Eastern, we have to earn our wings every day. And we hope we are doing so here at the EAL Radio Show. Next week, we hope you'll once again fly Eastern Radio as we bring you more Eastern news, history, and talk with former Eastern employees and friends of Eastern. Be sure to tune in and call in at 7 p.m. when flight number 209 departs the gate for a new adventure. Be on board for the radio voice of Eastern Airlines. From all the gang here at our studio and remote locations, we all say now all together, good night and have a great week, Eastern family.
Good night.
See you next week.
Good night and have a great weekend.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Thanks, Frank. Good night, Frank.